Welcome to season two of the Blue Line Brothers. You're here with Frank and Fred. I happen to be Fred.
I think I'm Frank.
And we just happen to be the Blue Line Brothers for season two. It's amazing, isn't it? We actually have people listening to us through season one.
I'm really surprised that people want to hear what we have to say.
Hey, you know, being a couple of knuckle draggers, sometimes we might actually offer a mere modicum of information that could be useful somewhere, somehow, maybe.
Maybe.
Or maybe not.
You know, hey.
But hey, I think this episode, we're going to kind of revert back to some basics here, because after some recent experiences that we've had, I think it's time to talk about how to talk to people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate to say that we really have to broach a topic like this on such a basic level, but apparently so few people in society actually know how to talk to one another, converse to one another.
Yeah,
as a law enforcement officer, of course, what do? 99.8-99.9% of the time we deal with other human beings?
Well, here's the problem. The second you give somebody a badge and a gun, and they have the authority to take away somebody's freedom, what happens? Their head swells the size of two city blocks.
Well, that happens a lot. But, you know, here's the thing. Excuse me. There are two of us. Two of us knuckle draggers have been involved in law enforcement for years and years and years. Decades, right? Yeah, at least a handful of decades. Okay? I never had that chip on my shoulder. And I know you never had that chip on your shoulder.
No.
So, why is it a couple of knuckle draggers? Maybe that's why. Yeah, being a couple of knuckle draggers, maybe we just naturally did not have room for a chip on the shoulder.
Well, and I think a lot of it has to do with maturity, too.
You know what? You may be hitting the hot button there. Maybe that does have something to do with it. Because here's the deal. We're in a day and age where we have to have X number of hours of in-service training every year on how to treat people, how to talk to people, because it's painfully apparent that there are a solid number of us, I mean, who knows for sure, that may not possess the maturity needed.
I'm going to go 80%.
Okay, yeah. We might. Just recent experiences alone. And there again, we've been in positions, whereas people did not know that we were law enforcement officers. We weren't in a uniform, just a guy standing on a street corner watching other officers do their thing. And I'm going to tell you something. It's darn right, well, kind of scary to see some of these things happen. Because, yeah. Once again, having some experience, we know what could happen down the pike. You know what, how bad things could get in as far as interactions and things like that. How we used to say how things go south, if you will. So, and of course, why? Why can we not just be polite?
Well, you know, you get, I'm just going to say, some of the younger guys, they try to lean too much on that perceived authority. And when all you need is to have some coof and some ability to talk to somebody, that's all you need. Then, of course, if it doesn't work that way, well, then you go a different route.
There are other options when needed that can be deployed. or employed or however.
But, you know, they have a tendency to go from 0 to 100 and start using that command voice when all you need to do is say, hey, here's the deal. You need to do X, Y, and Z so A, B, and C doesn't happen. You give them the option, you give them the opportunity to pack up and move out of, you know, the area. Well, there you go. Problem solved.
Well, on that level, you bring up some good points because that also brings up an awareness level that I think a lot of people lack. And when I say awareness, obviously we talk about tactical awareness in the past. We'll talk a lot more about it later. But how about social awareness? And I don't mean, I say social because this isn't what, it's not political on that level. But what I'm saying is, as social awareness is, when we're dealing with somebody, if we happen to be within their element, in other words, their family members or friends or people around them, perhaps it might be wise to allow them to save face here and there. Or give them an out, if you will.
Yeah.
And, you know, things like that to where, hey, you can begin to quell the situation before it gets heated. And let's put it this way. The times that I can remember doing things like that, I had a number of people thank me later on down the pike as an officer. Hey, thanks for treating me like that. Hey, thanks for getting me out of that. Okay. Hey, we get around the corner, just like I know it's some of the 80s and 90s TV shows that cop shows do this, but I did this quite regularly when I worked in the city. You have people that are informants or give you information. So, but you have to keep the window dressing up, you know, in front of the peers.
Oh yeah.
You know, you have to let them berate you and all this stuff. Okay, you have to go through a little act, and then once you get them away from all of that, then okay, Bill, what do you got for me? You know, it's like, hey, you know, Bob Schmuckatelli over here is dealing drugs off of this. Okay, great. About what time does he come out? Oh, about 4 o'clock. Okay, great, thanks. Okay, if you need me, man, next couple days I'm gonna be laying low. I said, okay, cool, no problem. We'll come back later. Great. No problem. Okay. Now, how do you want to do this? It's like, you stupid ingrate, blah, 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 blah. Oh, great. Yeah. Lay it on thick. Okay. If I see you next time, I'm going to call a SWAT team or whatever. You know, something silly. But once again, awareness on a different level, if you will. You know, presence of mind. But that's the whole thing. It all starts off with something as simple as the golden rule. At least that's what, you know, we referred to it. You know, my mom and dad taught us growing up. You do unto others as you would have others do unto you.
Oh, I thought it was you do unto others before they do unto you.
Well, apparently some people seem to get that portion, that version, as opposed to the original. At least we could maybe use that as an excuse. But
yeah.
Yes. And now, I'll tell you, there was a time where I wasn't actually the popo on the street. After a layoff or two, I was needing a job, so I had to go to work in a jail, a city. It was a county jail, but in a major city. And of course, it's like, man, I really didn't want to have to. I needed a paycheck. You know, I didn't have a choice. So, I'm like, all right, I'll go do it. Well, excuse me. I get into and it happened to be the county jail within the same city in which I worked earlier as a city officer. So, now, this is years down the pike. However, once again, we all know some bad guys spend years and years and years, or they spend years and years and years revisiting the same jailhouse. So,
and they hold a grudge.
They can hold a grudge. But on the flip side, you'd be surprised. The little story I'll tell actually ended up on a positive note for me, because I went in, I get hired, and the sergeant that was doing the hiring, she pulled up my file. She said, "Oh yeah, you used to work here, you know, like 20 years ago." I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she just looks at me and she says, "This is not the same place that it was when you were here last." I said, "Okay, thanks for the warning." Okay. So I've got a lot to look forward to. She said, Yeah. She said, "I'm going to try to get you an investigation." She says, "You have the perfect background for an investigator." But she said, "You know as well as I do, it's highly political here." I said, "Oh, yeah. And I've never been on the right side of politics." So I said, I applaud your effort, ma'am. But I said, "I have a funny feeling I'm going to be working late shift in the dark corner, you know, someplace," which is actually just fine with me. Yeah, just put me in the dark corner if that's the case. "Okay, I'll see what I can do." Obviously, where do I go? Late shift, dark corner. Great. Yep. Well, here's the thing. They put me up on the fourth floor. And this particular unit, the fourth floor, was for red suits. Ooh. Red suits, those are the guys that actually murder people.
The real bad guys.
The real bad guys. We're not talking about jaywalkers here. Or hey, I got a blunt, you know. Oh, no. These guys, they've done some pretty nasty stuff. So, the thing is, I'm up there, I'm doing my thing, I do my rounds when I'm supposed to, I do the feeding ceremony when I'm supposed to, I do all this stuff, and I'm thinking, man, you know, I'm just waiting for it, because no matter what, especially a place like that, somebody's going to test a new guy. You know, somebody's going to test a new guy, oh my gosh, what's good? So I'm just thinking in my head, okay, you know, what's, all right, well, a couple weeks go by, somebody does something stupid, and there you go. I have to put them down hard, and okay, cool. Nobody's really injured, you know, no broken bones or anything like that. But once again, thankfully for me, there were enough of the, we'll just call them indigenous personnel, that happened to notice what happened, and nobody tested me physically, as far as inmates go. So that's great. I said, okay, this might just work out for me. Okay, cool. Well, the problem is the other deputies that worked in there, you talk about a chip on the shoulder. Okay, now, once again, they're not working the street. You know, they're not patrolling or anything like that. They're in a jail. But the chips on their shoulders were so freaking large. I mean, I could tell when I first get there. Once again, just see how somebody comports themselves, how they dress and their uniforms, which you think, really? Oh, there's a big difference once you get into it and everything. But that's the whole thing. I'm thinking, man, I can get along with these inmates better than I can the other deputies.
Yep.
And sure enough, that's, of course, and most of these other deputies are younger. They're just getting their start and all. And there again, then the real bad ones, they've been in there because they can't go anyplace else. They're stuck because nobody with the right mind is going to hire them. So they're stuck in there. I'm like, oh, man. Well, here's the deal. I'm in there. We're doing our thing. And a couple of deputies start to realize that the red suits aren't giving me any trouble. They don't call me names. They don't, you know, test me physically, you know, after my little engagement. You know, they leave me alone pretty much. For the most part, a couple of new ones come in. They don't know who you are, you know, whatever. Okay, yeah, they do the mouthy game, just like it's a game. You know, okay, do your thing. Don't take it personally. Do your thing. Do your job. Don't let it get to you. And you don't have to worry about stuff. You really don't. We call it duck feathers. You know, just let the water run right off and just stay professional and focus on your job and things will be okay. Well, once again, late shift. I was one of the deputies that did... I wanted to walk around just so I didn't have to hang out with the other deputies. So I did my foot patrol. I tried to stay on patrol all the time so I didn't have to be around the other idiots. I mean, deputies. gentlemen in uniform. Yeah, I'm sorry. Uh-huh. So one night I'm doing my little thing down a cell block and, you know, they're supposed to be asleep and every once in a while you hear people talking and all this stuff, which, you know, once again, I could care less what blah, blah, blah. But the whole thing is all those red suits especially, they'd call the deputies... fake cops or wannabe cops. And that would just snap of a finger, boom, you know, there goes the chip, you know, oh, blah, 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 blah. And they get all mad and huffy and all this stuff. And of course the inmates like, wow, this really isn't even a challenge. You know, you can press these guys' buttons and not even think about it.
Well, that kind of goes back to that perceived authority. You know, because you got a badge, you think you have this massive amount of authority, and everybody is going to bow down and kiss your feet and do what you tell them. Nope, doesn't work that way.
No.
Anyways, go on with your story.
Oh, well, along those lines, I'm walking through one of the cell blocks, and I hear a voice out of a dark corner. Hey, you'll want to be. And of course, I think it's funny, actually. I kind of chuckle. I never acknowledge that stuff. Who cares? I've been there, done that enough to satisfy myself. I could care less. You could call me. Once again, I've been everything but a white boy for most of my adult life. So what are you going to do? Call me another name? Okay, fine. Go ahead. Well, that's the whole thing. So I'm just kind of walking. I kind of chuckle. And all of a sudden, I hear another voice from another corner say, hey, he ain't no wannabe. It's just like, huh? I'm kind of looking around. He said, he put me in here. Like, oh, shit. I start to walk around the corner. And it's pretty cool. He kind of pops out of the shadows for a second. And I kind of look back. He just gives me a wink, and I give him a wink back. And the other guy kind of grovels about something. He says, yeah, don't screw with him, man. He'll kick your ass. Just like, oh, okay. And I just kind of smile and just keep on walking and do my thing. But it was funnier than heck. It took me a couple of days to catch up with that guy. And it's like, oh, yeah, I remember you from the east side. He's like, yeah, man, but here's the thing. Here's the funny part to that. We actually, it was like old home week when I'm talking to this inmate, okay? Not the deputy. I'm talking to an inmate, a red suit, right? This guy is getting ready to go to a federal pen, okay? He's just waiting for the paperwork and the process and all this silliness. But the whole point is, I'm talking to the guy just like I'm talking to you, mm-hmm. Okay? And we're having a conversation. Other deputies are getting jealous because I'm talking to this guy like, not that we're buddies, but the whole point is like old home week. Hey, yeah, you remember Pookie? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he got shot the other... Oh, okay, you know, blah, blah, blah. We're talking and all this stuff. But the last thing he tells me as I start to walk away is he said, hey, man, thanks. I said, thanks? Thanks for what? He said, man, every time that you and I had an interaction, he said, you treated me like an adult. He said, I like that, man. He said, that's why I always cooperate with you. He said, that's why I spoke up, you know, He said, man, you always treat me straight. All the time, man. He said, thanks. He said, all these other idiots here, he said, man, I want to, you know, shove them through a freaking toilet seat or something. You know, but, man, you always treat me straight. He said, I just want to say thanks. Now, what's that say? I mean, not about me. I'm talking about in general. Well, I mean, not everybody gets treated crappy and all this stuff. But the whole thing is, the guy not only talked to me and was cooperative with me, but he gave me information. He did whatever. I mean, I could have asked him for anything.
Where's Jimmy Hoffa?
Where's Hoffa buried? You know, or whatever. I mean, that's the whole thing, man. Something so simple as treating somebody with just a modicum of respect, and you get so much in return. No matter who, I mean, and this guy is a convicted murderer, okay? I mean, just think about, I'm not putting him down. I'm just saying that, you know, a lot of times we have part of that mindset too, as well, you know, these guys are murderers, they're liars, they're cheats, they're okay.
But that's just it. It's not your job to punish them.
No, it's not, is it?
I mean, you have a job to do, sure. But that does not mean you get to treat them like a subhuman. They have, you know, the basic human needs just like you do. You can't go in there and treat them like shit and expect them to just take it. You're going to get pushback. You go in there, you treat them like a normal human being wants to be treated, and guess what? More than likely, they're going to comply, they're going to cooperate, and it'll go off without a hitch. But you treat them like shit, you're going to get pushback, and next thing you know, you're going to have a really nice shiner, if not more.
Oh, yeah, it could be a lot worse. That's the thing. Yeah, you're just... excuse me. I was actually, a few months later, I ended up leaving. Not because of the inmates, but because of the other deputies.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't stand being around stirring up all this poop and all this stuff. It's like, oh my gosh. No. But that's the whole thing. We have something called Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs. I mean, it's all a psychological thing. We're not going to get into a psychology 101 or anything, but, well, actually, we kind of are. Mm-hmm. But because it is. I mean, if you treat somebody the way they'd like to be treated, how is it you get further with honey than you do vinegar?
Mm-hmm.
That was another saying my grandmother used to repeat to my sister and I all the time
growing
up.
You get more, what was it? You get more flies with honey than you do with vinegar.
There you go.
Something like that.
But that's the thing. I know a number of my cohorts back in the day. Now, I will say this, but that's going to beg the question. What we just got done explaining is, okay, fine. Well, that's great, but what if they give you a bunch of crap? Okay, well, number one, a modicum of crap is part of the game.
Yeah.
Okay, you expect that. They should teach you, you know, how to deal with the crap in the academy or an FTO and all that. That's hence the purpose of all the training. But that's the whole thing. I had a quote. A statement that I would give to a lot of bad guys that did not know me. You know, we didn't have a history or anything. It's like, you know, oh, you're being nice to me. Yeah, don't mistake my kindness for weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that it's your prerogative. Okay, you can do that if you want. I mean, I hope you don't, because once again, I'd like to get through this interaction as easily as possible. Okay, because here's the thing. If I treat you well and you can actually give me the information I need, guess what? I'll be out of your hair faster, so you can be on doing your thing. You don't have to be talking to the ugly popo. Yeah. And there you go. Okay. Or fine. Hey, we're doing this or we're doing that. Okay. If you cooperate with me now, once again, I'm not making promises or anything to what, you know, what somebody, a judge is going to decide or anything else. But what I can do is say, hey, this guy cooperated with me. This guy did work with me. He wasn't being a prick or whatever, you know. And hey, we got further with this guy because of his help or intervention or whatever. Hey, it could help out down the pike. Maybe shorten something up so you can get back to life, do your thing, and you're out of my hair. And I'm out of your hair. The whole thing. But that's the whole thing. Don't mistake my kindness for weakness. Because once again, there's a few other steps that we can take. And that's how, sometimes alter egos develop and things like that. And we get into other things that we'll get down later. We'll discuss those things later down the pike, a few more episodes. But yeah, that's the whole thing. And which, once again, that is a common mistake for people to mistake kindness for weakness. I said, oh, okay, maybe this guy, he doesn't know how to fight, so he's just a nice guy. We're just going to do that. Oh, but hey, we can push them around a little bit and get by with this or that or what have you. And of course, that's where that testing comes into play.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it doesn't happen just in a jail. I mean, it'll happen anywhere. But once again, it's kind of like survival of the fittest. And that's how you have to look at this. You know, a few laws of the jungle, if you will.
I mean, it doesn't matter if it's a traffic stop, a domestic call, or just a health and welfare check. It doesn't matter. You're always going to get tested. Somebody is always going to test you. And, you know, you have to expect it. You've got to understand that the second I knock on that door, somebody in that house is going to test me. Now, you don't have to buy into their bullshit. You know, you can ignore it. You know, if it gets too bad, then yeah, address it. But you don't have to buy into it. You know, you treat them, you know, the old saying, kill them with kindness. You kill them with kindness until it has to go a different route.
There are ways to manipulate any situation. Mm-hmm. There are various levels of manipulation that can be utilized. The thing is, and there again, I'm going to go back for a second because we were breaking down some training issues that we had. Mm-hmm. And once again, I'll go back to the last experience that you had at the state level training center. Excuse me. You know what we just got done saying? We, you know, 99.9% of our job is human interaction, right? Mm-hmm. Why do they not spend time teaching basic levels of psychology? If so much of our job is human interaction, would it not make sense to spend a little more time in the basic level of training, teaching a little bit of theory about how to deal with people?
Well, here's the thing. What little that they do teach, and I do mean little, it was more reactive as opposed to proactive.
Okay.
And, you know, it's like, so if somebody does X, Y, and Z, you do this. As opposed to, you know, you come into a situation and you do this, and then you won't have to worry about being reactive because you're proactive and you're kind of cutting it off at the knees before it becomes a big problem. You know, you don't have to deal with little Johnny over here going, you know what, I don't want you in my house, so I'm gonna be a dick. Well, there are ways that you know, being proactive, you can see you're gonna be a problem, so take him out of the equation. Put him outside. Put him with somebody else. Say, hey, keep an eye on him. So that way he's out of the situation. And guess what? That one little thing right there just for the foreseeable future kind of smoothed the whole thing down a little bit and makes it a little easier until you find another problem. And then you can address that problem. As opposed to focusing in on little Johnny, who wasn't even part of the original call. Now it's grown, you know, it grew legs and it went off in its own direction, and now you're in the corner getting your ass beat.
So it's kind of like identifying the alpha male of the group, mm-hmm. and then kind of like put the neuter on them, and
mm-hmm.
there you go. Wow, that's a hell of a concept.
You know, when you get a really pissed off horse and you go up and put a twitch on it.
Ooh.
Yeah, in case you don't know what a twitch is, it's where you go up and it's a chain on a stick. You get him on the lip, you twitch it, you put a loop on there, pull tension, that thing will not move.
Excuse me.
Same thing.
So, it kind of goes back to that, you want to try to tip those scales in your favor, mm-hmm. as soon as possible, maybe before crap really blows up and hits the fan. Yeah, I see how that might work.
You know, instead of, well, see, and, I mean, if I'm wrong, then tell me, but it seems like the majority of the people that I see that go in and try to have a pissing match and, you know, establish their authority is better than, bigger than everybody else's, are younger individuals.
Yeah, it goes back to that maturity thing, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, oh, you know, you're 22 years old, and you're like, here's a badge, here's a gun, and you know what? You can take anybody to jail that you want to, as long as you have a good reason to. Then they stroll into a, we'll choose a domestic because those are never cut and dry. And they have that mentality that they're God's gift to the badge. And next thing you know, little Johnny and Susie are beating the piss out of him in the corner of the kitchen because they didn't like his attitude. And now it's something completely different.
Hmm. I think you may have something there.
It's possible. I mean, I'm not a smart man, but, you know, I mean, it's possible.
We could almost turn this into like a knuckle-dragger theory type of thing.
You know?
Excuse me. But yeah, exactly. A lot of this whole, a lot of this starts with nonverbal communication.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say that. Because we're trained to analyze things and then to reanalyze, and, you know, kind of like an OODA loop. I mean, that's what we're on, really. But the thing is, once again, the basic psychology of this is more information is conveyed or could be conveyed through nonverbal communication as opposed to verbal.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, the last time I looked up this stat, which is about a year and a half, 2 years ago, up to 80% of all human communication is nonverbal. So if up to, just say, I don't care, you can put 60 or 70%, who cares? The whole point is the vast majority of human communication is nonverbal.
Mm-hmm.
So, there, I'm about ready to ask another dumb question. Why not teach a few of these, you know, just the nonverbal paradigm could be introduced in a basic academy class?
They do have... they do have a few classes on reading body language, things of that nature.
Now, did they have one for armed individuals?
Yeah.
Okay.
In my opinion, they didn't have... they didn't have enough emphasis on that, and it wasn't long enough. It was just long enough. They gave you just enough information that if you had zero experience, you would either A, get your ass kicked, or get shot.
So it sounded to me like they're not... The only reason that they have a number of these topics, and like I said, the class that you went through, mm-hmm. is just so they could check off a box stating that they covered those topics. As yeah. opposed to, hey, we really want to invest in our officers, or our future officers, however the case may be. Or we want to invest in society and try to make this whole thing a lot better. Rather, we'll just, you know what, we just have time for this, and this. You know, we need to, we've got another class starting in 6 weeks, so.
I mean, you know, a guy could actually, he could argue that a more in-depth class on that is warranted just because of officer safety. I mean, that right there is just as important as criminal law, traffic law, physical tactics, knowing how to shoot.
Could be more important, actually.
You know, those are all key points of the job, but that right there is something that you actually would use the second that you walked up to the door.
Well, let's revert back to our personal experience now for just a second, because what we're talking about are things that we've actually done ourselves numerous times. How many times have you engaged in a scenario where you knew it was probably going to go south or get physical or somebody's going to get hurt? You chose to employ a mere modicum of maturity, a little bit of awareness, and you got somebody calmed down.
Well, probably the last three domestics I was on.
See? I mean... Yeah.
Those are always the ones that it's literally like a match in a powder keg. And if you don't have your wits about you, you're going to go up in smoke.
Now, once again, you're always reassessing things.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that we have that tactical reassessment and everything, but the whole thing is, excuse me, you took a different approach. I say a different approach, but I guess a seemingly, I say seemingly because there's a lot to this, but a seemingly more relaxed approach. And
I mean, I don't get excited when I go on these calls.
Right.
You know, I mean, the way that I am right now is the way that I am then. And, you know, you really have to pay attention. Briefly. So, the common misconception is that every domestic, the guy is the aggressor, the female is the victim. That's, I don't know, it's just kind of inbred in everybody's mind. But you can't go with that. You have to actually listen. You know, once you get them separated, you know, she says X, Y, and Z, he says A, B, and C, then you have to think about it. Then you go back and you ask another round of questions and see if you get the same answers and here and there. And come to find out, what you think is the complete opposite as to how it is. But if you just go in there with your hyped up sense of authority and your preconceived notion, guess what? You just victimize the victim. And you run a high risk of being a victim yourself. Because, once again, your elevated sense of authority and your chip on your shoulder and your big head got you there.
So, in other words, you say we could do more harm than good.
Oh, yeah.
Far more harm than good.
Mm-hmm. By far.
So, there's something else that's been kind of on my mind while we've been discussing this. Get back up just for a second. Motivation. Motivation to do things, to choose to employ some awareness, to choose, you know, the things that we've been talking about. The motivation for that would be,
I'll do you one better. The lack of motivation. Once again, we go back to the beginning. Your lack of motivation means you're hiding behind that badge and that gun and your quote-unquote authority. Because you don't have that mental capability of stepping outside of that and using your brain,
developing a critical thought process,
you know, your verbiage to delve into the problem. You just want to lean on the badge and go, all right, well, I'm just going to take you to jail.
So that's where you're going down the same path I was thinking. It comes down to caring.
Mm-hmm.
You have to care about what you're doing. You have to care about your influence on whatever situation you might be on, whether you're in a uniform or not.
Yeah.
And actually, this holds true across the board, not just law enforcement, doctors, attorneys. I mean, it doesn't make a difference. If you don't care, truly care about what you're doing, you're not going to take those extra steps.
I mean, there's the right way of doing it, and then there's the half-assed way of doing it.
How many times as an FTO I tell people, you know what, just take extra time, do it the right way the first time, because in the end, you're going to save yourself so much more work and effort, because you know how much work and effort it takes to try to take the shortcut?
A lot.
Yeah. I see it all the time, but that's exactly it. You care more about taking the shortcut than you do about doing the right thing.
I mean, if you did the right thing, guess what? You know, that pissing match of a domestic you just went on to could end up being, okay, well, little Johnny's going to go stay with his mom, and Susie here is going to go stay with her sister, and problem solved. Nobody went to jail. Nobody got in a fight. At best, it's an incident report, and you go 10-8. And it only took 15, 20 minutes worth of your time to actually talk to somebody, as opposed to coming in like a bull in a china shop going, oh, well, you got balls, so you're going to jail. I'm sorry, ma'am. I'll take care of this. Wrong. Next thing you know.
Tell me that story again. When we were talking about doing this episode, it's been a little while. You were working part-time at a gas station.
Oh, yeah.
Something so innocuous, okay? Something so simple or basic. Tell that story again.
So, in the summertime, there is a road here in town that, you know, people like to go, they cruise. And there is a gas station, and it shares a parking lot with a Steak and Shake. Well, it's I think it's the last place that you could actually turn around and get accessed and go northbound on that road. Well, the people would come in and they would park in the gas station parking lot, and they'd block all the pumps and everything else. Well, the part-time job I was doing was the people in the gas station, they just wanted people to clear out. So, you know, I've been doing it for probably 2 or 3 summers now. And I had gotten a rapport with these people that I didn't have to say much other than, like, hey, you know, you can park here if you're getting gas. Or just do me a favor and go over to the Steak and Shake parking lot. Because they had a big wide-open parking lot. And as time progressed, they would see me. I would be walking out towards them. And they would just, all right, we're moving. And they would go. There was a new guy that was going to take over that one. I was going to a different one. And I seriously thought he was going to get his ass beat. Because, once again, he was leaning on that do what I say because I have a badge and I have the authority and you will respect that authority. And, I mean, literally, it was like I was waiting for him to get his ass beat. And I had to step in and say, hey, you guys know, can you just go to the Steak and Shake parking lot? For you, yeah, we'll go. For him, absolutely not.
There you go.
And, you know, it's a small, inconsequential event, but it speaks volumes. If you take the time and use your mouth and your brain and you get a rapport with people, guess what?
Take your ego out of it. That's the other aspect.
You're just a guy running around with a shiny thing on your chest. That's all.
Well, actually, it's a target.
Well, that's true, too.
I mean, in all seriousness.
In today's society, yes.
Well, it has been for a long time. But the whole thing is, yeah, certain people are a little more apt to take some target practice. Excuse me. On an available target. So why? Once again, I'm going to ask you a really dumb question. Why put yourself in that position? Why? It's so simple.
I don't think they know any better.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'll be the first one to tell you. There were times I had bad shifts. I had bad days. Mm-hmm. There were lots and lots of bad days dealing with I'm not going to get into all that stuff, but once again, dead people and investigations and nasty stuff happening to people and stuff like that, and the last thing you want to do is deal with that last domestic call or this over here or whatever call you get. But I'm going to tell you something. There are times where I get, sir, ma'am, please, or could you please, or, you know, anything like that, anything to be polite, anything. I mean, yes, I may sound a little forceful because I've had a bad day or what have you, but at the same time, I know enough and I'm doing everything I can not to take out my bad day on somebody else.
I mean,
and make it their bad day.
I don't want to sit here and think or have people think that, you know, I am just Mr. Calm, Cool, and Click. Because, no, there have been times that I have blown up on people.
No, not you. I could never, I couldn't see it.
No.
Not me personally.
But there have been times. And it happens. But as soon as it happens, you have to be able to pull it back in and separate yourself, calm down, and come back.
Now, I do have to say something on that note. And I know I mentioned it to you in the past, but one time, my beat partner, excuse me, I had the one time I ever had a complaint, a formal complaint, that turned out to be nothing. I did not do anything wrong. But the whole thing is, there was a very, very violent person that did not want to go to jail. And this person was a drug dealer. Actually, he was a drug mule. He was actually muling drugs for more than one dealer. That's one reason he hated life. But the whole thing is, a sizable guy, once again, just he... No, he took kindness as weakness. So I ended up, we're wrestling around on the floor. My beat partner shows up and I hear him start to laugh. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, well, I'm glad I'm providing cheap entertainment for somebody. Okay. I'm rolling around with this guy trying not to hurt him while getting him in cuffs and all this stuff. Cause once again, we play by the rules, no matter how violent. I'm doing my thing. And this guy's mother is looking over me, telling me that she's going to sue me and all this stuff because I'm trying to lock up her innocent son and all this stuff. And basically I turned to her as I'm still wrestling around with the son and said, you need to step back, ma'am, or you will be going to jail for impeding my lawful investigation. Basically is how I put it. And I actually, that's actually verbatim what the code says and all this. Instead of just saying, oh, I'm going to lock you up. No, I actually told her what I would arrest her for and why. And of course, she didn't want to have any of that. But I ended up getting the son under control, getting him handcuffed. I got him patted down. We called for a wagon, blah, blah, blah. Get everything calmed down. I did not arrest the mother. However, she did choose eventually to capitulate. And she did actually provide information of some other things that were going on in the drug trade in the house and things like that. However, that was back in the day when a lot of the drug dealers figured out that if they would call Internal Affairs directly and file a complaint, no matter how stupid it might be, then that officer automatically gets investigated and that information gets in his permanent jacket, no matter file jacket, no matter what, personnel. Mm-hmm. So that's the only reason she filed the complaint, was to try to get me in trouble feloniously. So at any rate, my beat partner, he was laughing his butt off because we get done and he goes to jail and she's gone and we go off. I said, what in the heck was so freaking funny? He said, you are the politest guy when you're beating the squat out of somebody. I said, what? He said, It was nothing but sir, ma'am, you know, this, that, you know, well, please do this. Please don't do that. Please stop so I don't have to hurt you. You know, he said, you're the most polite guy. Crap is going. I said, and of course, this is also before we had recorders and stuff like that. We didn't even have in-car cameras at that time. This is way back in the Stone Age. But we were laughing about it. But I said, yeah, but think about it. I said, I did myself a heck of a favor. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, if you heard me, other people heard me. Mm-hmm. Now, would they tell the truth? Who knows? Do they all hate the cops and blah? Probably. Maybe. Who cares? But the whole point is, I was saying, you know, I wasn't calling people names. I wasn't, you know, trying to send them to some other place, a spiritual location or anything like that. Sir, ma'am, please. I used please, you know, please stop. Please do this, whatever. But yeah, he was laughing his butt off. And I said, well, I'm glad now that I got a soiled uniform and all this stuff. You're just standing there laughing. I said, thanks a lot, buddy. I said, you came in handy. I said, I mean, you could have talked to the mother. Oh, no. You just wanted to stay there and laugh. So, but once again, it's a part of that CYA thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you're doing the right thing, you don't have anything to worry about. Well, until people want to lie or contrive a story about you or what have you because they don't like the police or what have you. But once again, as I said before, that complaint obviously was investigated properly. And oh, the complaint, she said that I was rude.
Oh, no.
But that was the official complaint. She wanted me fired from the department because I was being rude. Not because I was cussing out somebody. And once again, I said, being rude. And of course, once again, as soon as my beat partner heard about that, he goes, really? He said, if I had a tape recorder, he said, that's why I was standing there laughing the whole time. So, but once again, you stack the odds in your favor if you take the time and care enough to do the right thing here and there. So...
Well, and, you know, that that's the thing now, because we have body cams. And now you can go back and see just exactly how you come across to somebody. As opposed to before cameras, you know, you think about it. You're like, well, I just said X, Y, and Z. And in your mind, you were correct. You don't get to see how it comes across and how it's perceived from somebody else's standpoint until you watch the video.
That's the thing.
Then you go, damn, I was a dick.
There you go. What, it's not necessarily what comes out of the mouth, it's how it comes out. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's a lot to think about. I mean, something so basic as carrying on a conversation with somebody, there are a lot of elements to consider.
I mean, you almost have to relate with that individual on their terms to a certain extent.
Of course.
And if you can make that personal connection, you're still going to do your job.
Right.
But you don't need to do your job and be a dick at the same time.
Well, here's the thing. If you care, if you genuinely care about what you're doing, people will perceive that. Mm-hmm. They will perceive that you care. Once again, I know that from feedback, personal feedback. When people come back to witnesses, it may not be a suspect, okay? It may not be somebody that you're putting handcuffs on. It could be a witness, a victim. But that's the whole thing. They come back, thank you for, I said, you do care. I can tell you care. I'll talk to you. You know, I'll work with you. Please, you know, if something comes up, I'll work with you. Because you actually do care about what happens or about how this may end up, whatever the situation might be.
Yep.
And that also works out. Once again, I say victims. Out west, when I was working out there, I in my training period, in my FTO period out there, don't take this the wrong way, but I was labeled a sex assault king my first 3 months out on the street, not because I committed sexual assaults, but because I got all the sex assault calls that came out. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And it just worked out that way for about a month and a half, 2 months. And but here's the thing. Once again, who's the last person a victim wants to talk to, especially of any type of sex assault or physical assault? A big ugly cop.
Exactly.
Nobody wants to talk to a knuckle dragger, especially a victim of some type of physical assault. All right. Now, I'm going to say it takes time, but it's your approach. Okay. When I talk to these people, or anybody, when you're the first officer on the scene, it's important to try to elicit as much information as possible, so hopefully we can go get the bad guy in time, you know, before he or she leaves the state or whatever, or does whatever they're going to do. So there is a time element, you know, certain things like that have to be done. We're not going to get into the ins and outs of the investigations or anything, but the whole thing is, the goal is to make contact with the victim and try to get certain pieces of information so we can try to get the bad guy corralled. And of course, that's very, very difficult, because the last thing anybody wants to do is relive the horror that they just experienced. Okay, nobody wants to do that. But those calls, it took, you know, time. You know, maybe a half an hour talking to somebody, maybe 45 minutes, maybe an hour. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I was able to elicit that type of information without the victim going bananas again. You know, because once again, a little bit of knowledge goes a long way, too. I want to throw that in there, too, especially with investigations. A lot of times we cannot reveal a lot of information for legal purposes and stuff like that. But the thing is, a lot of times when I ask somebody for information, I would explain to them why I needed the information, if I could. That's another aspect. But you know what? That let down a guard, you know, mm-hmm. some barriers. Because, oh, okay, now I better understand. You're not just asking me to be a smartass with me or to try to hem me up. You're really trying to get to this over here. Yes. You know, I'm not, you know, whatever, you know. So a lot of times explaining the purpose of the need, if you will, of the information or whatever, for what I might be asking at the time, that goes a long way as well.
Yeah,
so
you got your hand holding and baby steps.
Well, that's a whole thing. Once again, it's I go back to that social awareness thing, realizing that people have been through a lot of stuff. Once again, that's on the victim side. Witnesses, very mm-hmm. similar, and everything else. But we're quickly running out of time, as usual.
Wait, I will leave you with this.
Oh, please do.
There's an old saying, talk softly and carry a big stick. That's what this whole thing is about.
So you're trying to tell me that you carry a big stick?
Yeah. I do.
So why do you have all those guns for if you carry a big stick?
I didn't say what kind of stick it was.
Okay. Okay, and not that I wanted to put you on the spot about guns, because I might have one or two myself. And, you know, most of our buddies might have one or two.
I think I have two.
Two? Yeah.
Just two. Well, on me right now. But
yeah.
Then we're talking about on me, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, just two.
Yeah, just two. Gotcha. Just two. Kind of like the drunk guy. Just two beers.
That's right.
Two beers. That's it.
Don't mind the other ones that are in the back seat.
The three cases that are in the trunk don't have any mind to me at all. Nope. Just two beers. That's all I had. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I guess we can wrap up this little rant session about the... But once again, yeah, there are just some things that, you know, we don't have to be brain surgeons or anything like that. Even when a couple of knuckle draggers prove that just a little bit of insight and
common sense,
wherewithal and common sense can go a long way. So with that, see you later.
Bye-bye.